At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number 2 of 3 live right here on the Early Line on this Thursday, all across the Spiz Grizz network. That is Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside here, of course, as well. And Donnie, as we get ready for week number 4 of the 2023 National Football League season to kick off tonight in Lambeau between the Lions and the Packers, of course, we look around the rest of the NFL on this Thursday as well. We're in the final week of the Major League Baseball regular season. Just 4 more days to go, including this Thursday on the diamond, and college football not all that far away either, as we'll get you ready for Saturday and even a top 20 tilt on Friday. Yes, Friday Night Lights in Corvallis, Oregon. But Donnie, we start with some rookie quarterback injury updates as we get ready for week number 4. Of course, the Panthers were without Bryce Young last week on the road in Seattle. Andy Dalton filled in, and the wily veteran actually made the Panthers' offense look the best they had all season long. 27 points. Yeah, they lost by 10, 37-27, but they made it pretty interesting out there, DRS, against the Seahawks. Well, if you're hoping to see Bryce Young back for Carolina and what he can do in this Panthers' offense, he was a full participant yesterday, DRS, at practice.
Here's the best part about this, too. You take a look at the line yesterday. It's at 3.5 here. Minnesota is a favorite. Your superstar young quarterback you drafted number 1 overall looks like he's going to be able to go, and they move that line to 4, and rightfully so. He's not ready right now to lead his team to victory, and I agree with that. Eventually, he is going to be able to lead his team to some victories, but I think if you're Minnesota watching this, you say, you know what, kid? Get back in there as fast as you can. We really need a victory, and I expect the Minnesota Vikings to pick up that victory. I'm not saying Bryce Young is going to be a bust or a bad quarterback. I actually think he's going to do very well in the NFL once he gets his feet wet here. But in this game, advantage Vikings. They're happy that Andy Dalton's not going to be under center.
Let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience here live to hour number 2 of 3 on the Early Line on this Thursday. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 159 and all of our other radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix, looking at some rookie quarterbacks and their injury statuses entering week number 4. DRS, it's kind of mean of the odds makers to move the line depending on if Bryce Young is going to be the starter or if it is Andy Dalton. We saw something similar last week for the game in Seattle. When Bryce Young was about a 50-50 chance that he might play, the line was 6.5. He is ruled out. Andy Dalton is in. They take off the hook. Only a 6-point spread in favor of Seattle. Now, the Seahawks did end up covering that number, but Andy Dalton and the Panthers gave them a test last week in the Pacific Northwest. Donnie, there are 4 teams that remain winless, 0-3 after 3 weeks of this NFL season. All 4 teams play one of the other are winless teams so far this season. That includes in Charlotte on Sunday, as Donnie alluded to, the Panthers hosting the Vikings. Minnesota now a 4-point favorite that Bryce Young should be back under center for Carolina. It was 3.5 yesterday. Donnie, what stands out to me about Minnesota, last year a 13-win football team, 11-0 in single score games. This year, the Vikes winless, 0-3, and not just 0-3 overall, Donnie Wright's side, but 0-3 in one score games. A 4-point spread, although the line has worked in favor of Minnesota, does not necessarily, to me, Donnie, mean this game is going to be decided by double digits.
No, it doesn't. But also, if you're looking from a Minnesota perspective, we know how banged up that secondary is here for the Carolina Panthers also. And you got Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins humming here. Can't wait to get to watch this game. Let me just take a look here at the fan. And we don't have any of those numbers yet, because it'll be interesting to see. Last week, Kirk Cousins was at 292.5 as a passing total. I'm interested to see what it's going to be this week. It might be similar.
Justin Jefferson was at 100 and a hook, and that's not nearly enough. J-Jet was 1 yard away, DRS, one receiving yard away from 150 last week for the Vikings against the Bolts. He finished with 149, of course. He would have been the first wide receiver in the history of the National Football League to have at least 150 yards in all three of his opening games to start off a season. Donnie, again, what stands out about the Vikes? The odds makers expected some regression. A playoff team, a divisional champ, a 13-4 team last year entered this season with a win total of 8.5. Albeit the over had some juice, but now, Donnie, that updated win total for Minnesota is 6.5. They have started 0-3. We have shared at length the stats of a team starting winless 0-3 and trying to make the postseason. Spoiler alert, it doesn't happen often. It is only ever happened once in the 99 times we have seen it before this season, dating back to 2000. But Donnie, Minnesota has the league's leading passer, Kirk Cousins, 1,075 yards, 9 passing scores as well. That also leads the NFL. The Vikings have the league's leading wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, and the guy with the second most sacks in the National Football League in Danielle Hunter, 5, only behind TJ Watts, 6 for Pittsburgh, and yet the Vikes remain winless 0-3. I would expect them to get their first win of the year, albeit on the road in Charlotte, and I would expect those passing numbers to be very high for Minnesota. They're throwing the football on nearly 75% of their plays. So winless Carolina, 0-3. Winless Minnesota, 0-3. Donnie, 2-1. Indianapolis, and things are progressing to see Anthony Richardson back under center for Indy. Again, like in Charlotte, in Indy, they have a veteran backup who has winning experience in Gardner Minshew. They went on the road and beat Baltimore 22-19 last week in overtime. Donnie, that was a big win for the Colts. They have started off 2-1, but Anthony Richardson progressing through concussion protocol. He was back with his normal activity at practice yesterday. Hasn't been ruled out of concussion protocol just yet, DRS, but certainly on track to play this Sunday for Indy as they get ready to host the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, we take a look at the early line opening here for the Rams as a -1.5 point favorite. That's now swung over to the Colts here at -1.5, and I completely agree with that. The Indianapolis Colts here, whether or not they have Anthony Richardson or Gardner Minshew, they're going to beat the Los Angeles Rams. Keep in mind as well, last week, you come out to the East Coast here for the Rams, and you're going to have to play again here, basically in that Rust Belt area. So keep an eye on one of the Colts here, I'm going to tell you right now, really impressive over the first couple weeks with the way they performed. I looked at one of these teams as almost like, not an Arizona level, but okay, you got a rookie quarterback that's not ready to play. I don't know if they're going to be able to function all that well on offense. They've been wonderful here, and that says a lot about Shane Steichen coming over from Philadelphia, saying, okay, I can win with Minshew or Richardson, and now they might be 3-1 on the season. That's a possibility, and you know what? I think it's going to be a reality.
The Colts, the best record right now in the AFC South, the only 2-1 team. One of the other rookie quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, had his best performance of his NFL career last week, 280 yards over the Jacksonville Jaguars and a couple of passing scores. Right now, DRS, when you look at the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, it is C.J. Stroud, the second overall pick at a +310 price, who is booked as the favorite in front of Bijan Robinson. Both guys were in college last year. We'll talk some college football up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm. Let's get after it, talk a little bit of college football here. A big weekend on the horizon. Now, look, everybody's looking forward to Thursday Night Football. I get that. But we do have some meaningful matchups. Guess what? Starting tomorrow on the 29th. Woo! Let's take a look at the Pac-12 here, which, again, I do actually believe. You never would have told me before the season, Ben. You know me. I can't stand the Pac-12. I was happy when it went away. No. But what a bang it's going to go out with this year with so many good football teams. And let's start out there. 117, 118 on the rotation. A 9 o'clock start on a Friday night. Utah and Oregon State setting the table once again for this. Utah opens up as the minus 1.5-point favorite. That has now swung over to Oregon State at minus 3.5, looking for a bounce-back performance after losing in the Palouse. Give me some thoughts here on Utah and Oregon State. And also, we're watching day-to-day. Information's coming out. Cam Rising, will we see him on Friday night, Ben?
DRS, it's everybody's favorite game this year in Pac-12 college football. Will Cam Rising play? He has not so far this season, and yet Utah is a perfect 4-0. But Donnie, for this test in Corvallis tomorrow night, Friday Night Lights, it is not easy to go to Corvallis and get a victory outright. We will see what the Utes decide to do if Cam Rising is able to get back. Of course, the reason Cam Rising hasn't played so far this season, DRS, is because early in January of this year in the Rose Bowl, late in that second half against Penn State, he tore his ACL. That's a long, arduous road to recovery that Cam Rising is still trying to work through. It's a 3.5-point spread, Donnie, in favor of Oregon State. That line right there, Cam Rising's not playing. But what if Cam Rising does make his debut in 2023? Are we closer to a pick'em? Would Utah close as a favorite? That remains to be seen. Donnie, look at these two teams. Physicality up front is what they do really well. The reason the Beavs got lambasted last week in the Palouse, I know it was only a 3-point game at the end. Washington State won outright as a slight home underdog, is because Oregon State made a charge late, but really the game was out of hand midway through the third quarter. Cam Ward, who everybody needs to know the name of Wazoo's starting quarterback, threw for over 400 yards against Oregon State's secondary. But the Beavs are very good up front, and that plays into what Utah wants to do, especially without Cam Rising. Utah is going to run the football, but that is Oregon State's strength defensively. They're the seventh best rushing defense, DRS, only allowing 69.8 yards per game. What does Oregon State want to do? Run the football with Damian Martinez, one of the best backs not only in the Pac-12, but all of the country. What does Utah do better than most? Defend the run, the fourth best rushing defense in the country, only allowing about 51 yards per game. And DRS, the Utes, the sixth best scoring defense in the college football realm this year, allowing less than 10 points per game. Donnie, we broke down the game between Utah and UCLA last week. That was at Rice-Eccles. Utah has now won 17 straight games in Salt Lake City. And we said physicality up front between the Bruins and the Utes would decide the outcome. Utah held UCLA, DRS, to only nine rushing yards. And the Bruins entered averaging 270 yards per game on the ground as the third best rushing offense in all of the country. If Cam Rising does not play and Utah cannot throw the ball over the top against this Oregon State secondary, I think we stay under, DRS, that total of 44.5. But I'm not going to bet this game, even though it happens tomorrow and not Saturday, until I know for sure the status of Cam Rising and see what that closing line ends up being.
Pivotal game here coming up this weekend for Notre Dame. A last-second deflating loss to Ohio State. Now they're going to take on Duke. And if you're looking at this line, opened up at 6.5 as a favorite for Notre Dame. This is now down to 5.5 and a total at 51.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. This game is going to be Saturday night. And as everybody says, look, you might be able to be the 12th man with Texas A&M. You might have to go to Death Valley and Clemson. But way do you get a hold of Wallace Wade on a Saturday night here? Is Duke ripe for the up? Can Duke pull off the upset against Notre Dame and Storm? How about that? They're going to beat Clemson and Notre Dame at home. Wallace Wade, the new home field advantage standard in college football.
Donnie, as everybody knows, you don't just walk into Wallace Wade and come out with a victory. As good of a home field advantage as you will find in college football, much akin to the Michelob Ultra Arena in the WNBA. Duke has already upset Clemson at home at Wallace Wade, of course, on that opening Monday, Labor Day, of this college football season. Donnie, you brought up the 12th man, right, for Texas A&M. I thought you were going to make a joke about Notre Dame only playing 10 guys on defense. Marcus Freeman, you need 11 out there. Those are the rules of football. Count them with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 defenders out there. Donnie, I know why the line is working in favor of Duke, but I expect a Notre Dame bounce back. Now, the Irish lost last week at home, Ohio State scoring with 1 second remaining in regulation when Notre Dame only had 10 guys out there defensively. But Notre Dame squandered a couple of golden opportunities against Ohio State. They had two possessions, DRS, one in the first half, one in the second. They drove deep into Ohio State territory within the Buckeyes' 20-yard line in the red zone, went for it on fourth down, did not convert, came away with 0 points in both of those instances. I think Notre Dame is just a better football team than what we saw last week and a better football team than Duke. DRS, I'm as high on the Blue Devils as anybody you will find. I bet Duke's win total over 6.5 when a lot of people pointed at this schedule for the Dukies and said, hey, this is as tough of a slate as you will find. I said Mike Elko has turned around this program. Riley Leonard is back. They won 9 games a season ago and everybody said the schedule is difficult. Duke already has a win over Clemson I did not anticipate in the 7 that I needed. If they get one over Notre Dame, boy, oh boy, am I cruising to the over of that win total. I think Notre Dame, though, bounces back. Duke ran it for 199 yards, DRS, on Clemson. Riley Leonard had more than 90 in that game against the Tigers. I don't think the Irish allow that. Duke allowed 213 rushing yards against the Tigers. Audric Estime, who had less than 95 yards for the first time this year, last week in South Bend against Ohio State, I think has a bounce-back performance as well. All the credit in the world to Duke. Tied for the fourth-best scoring defense in the country right now, Donnie, only allowing 8.8 points per game. I think Notre Dame bounces back. I think they can win this one by at least a touchdown. I like where the number is at only 5.5.
3:30 p.m. Eastern here, kickoff deep in the heart of Texas here. It's Kansas and Texas. And how about this? 94 degrees at kickoff down at Darrell K. Royal Stadium. Take a look at this opening line too, Ben. -19.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now seeing 16.5 across the board. A total also that opened up at 64. Now down to 61.5. Kansas, Texas. What's the deal?
DRS, Kansas this year, a perfect 2-0 against the number versus Power 5 teams, both booked as a favorite. The first time for the Jayhawks as an underdog this year. Texas last week in their Big 12 opener, knocking off Baylor, winning 38-6 in Waco as a 17.5 point favorite. But DRS, Kansas ranks in the top 5 of all major stat categories defensively in the Big 12. Scoring, they're outside of that, but rushing, total, and passing defense, I think KU is better than giving credit for. I don't know if they win this game outright, Donnie, but I think they can cover as a 16.5 point underdog. A key for Kansas will be the dynamic quarterback play of Jalen Daniels. Last week, Texas defensively held Baylor to only 60 yards on the ground on 31 rushing attempts. If Kansas, with Devin Neal, their running back, and Jalen Daniels, their quarterback, can make some moves, DRS, I think Kansas puts up enough points to stay within this number.
There you go. Should have some fun there also. Deep in the Grove, LSU and Ole Miss. This game is a 2.5-point spread here. A total of 67.5, which is up from 62.5 points. Quickly on this one, are we getting close to 70 points in that one?
DRS, from Jalen Daniels, the quarterback of Kansas, to Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of LSU. Props not available yet. He's going to have a big day. He's thrown for at least 320 passing yards against all three FBS foes LSU has played this year. Ole Miss's best quarterback competition, Haynes King for Georgia Tech, threw for 307 yards. Give me the Tigers. Give me all the Jaden Daniels props. More on the early line. That's coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to this Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, here as well. Now, the hardest working man at the Spiz Grizz and in showbiz, Joe Ranieri, joins us live right here on this Thursday, filling in on game time decisions on Wednesday evening. Every other night of the week, you can see him on In Game Live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Sports Grid. Joe Ranieri, last week, you told us, wait until the end of the first month of the NFL season to have any big picture future conversations about where the league stands. Well, Joe, this week is week number four. It's not the end of week number four, but we're going to have those big picture conversations with you once again, and you will give us some answers and insights. So we appreciate the time, as always, live right here on this Thursday.
Well, it is more, it's the end of maybe the season for a couple of teams there, Ben. So if they don't get their act together here in this week four, but we'll give the benefit of doubt. Let's give them this this weekend, and then we can always reevaluate from there.
Listen, things change all throughout the course of an NFL regular season. We know that, but Joe brings up a good point. End of week three, as we talked about, Ranieri, last weekend, that entering this season from the year 2000 in the NFL, 99 teams had started 0-3, only one making the playoffs. Some of their seasons coming to a close. Some might be going that way after a 1-3 or 0-4 start. So, Joe, let's look at Super Bowl contenders and the tiers that we have around the National Football League at this point. Joe, a team we all expected to be there at the end that started 0-2, finally got their first win of the year on Monday night. That was the Bengals, a 17-1 price right now on Cincinnati. The Ravens, 14-1, the favorites currently to win a competitive AFC North. The Cowboys, we thought, were the most dominant team, Joe Ranieri, through 2 weeks in the National Football League, only to lose outright by 12 as a 12.5-point favorite last weekend against the Cardinals. And the Lions on display on this Thursday night to start off week number four, a 22-1 price. Joe, do you agree all four of those teams are in the same tier, or do you think there are tiers among that group of four we just showed?
Well, Cincinnati is worrisome to me. While we did get a chance to see the defense and Lou Anarumo at work finally, you know, that's against a Rams team. They should dominate a Rams offense at home. But, guys, you tell me. We were doing the game on we were covering it on In-Game Live. And I'm sorry, man, that is not the Joe Burrow that I am used to. That is a Joe Burrow that I feel any moment is going to be laying down on the ground holding his leg in an Achilles tear at some particular point. He is not mobile. It was only because he was going up against an extremely young Rams defense there that isn't as good as the first couple of games led us to believe or led the market to believe. I'm worried about Cincinnati. The simple fact that they let him play that entire game when he was clearly not 100% is a little bit worrisome, that offense right now. So I would keep an eye on Cincinnati. I wouldn't be running to the window to be backing Cincinnati in any future bets at this point.
Yeah, it's great that we're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, because I always find myself doing this, Joe. I take a look at the Bengals and go, 17-1? They should be way farther down than that. No way they're 17-1. And then I said, well, who are you putting them behind? The Lions, the Browns, the Chargers at this point? It really seems like we have top-tier teams there that are clear-cut winners or chance to win the Super Bowl here, which brings us into a monster game this weekend. The Miami Dolphins and also the Buffalo Bills. If we're looking at their price points right now before this game starts, the Buffalo Bills at a plus 950, and right behind them, the Miami Dolphins at a 10-1 price. Now, I know this weekend's game is going to do a lot in that pricing department, particularly if the Miami Dolphins pick up a victory and then a de facto two-game lead over the Buffalo Bills. But even with taking that game out of the equation, are we in agreement here, the Bills and the Dolphins, neck and neck right here?
Well, no, I wouldn't be. And I think too many people are going to be lulled into the Miami dropping 70 points. And look at this offense. It's the same offense they had last year. They have the same ability. They're running the ball a little bit better early on. But, I mean, who are they beating exactly here? And they're about to have to go on the road after dropping 70. And this is only the 12th time it's happened, guys, in the last 20-plus years in the NFL, where a team who is 3-0 in Game 4 is now an underdog in this spot. And that's exactly what they are. And, it hasn't been great. 2-9 straight up, those other teams that were in this spot. So, and it all goes back to the defense. I think the thing that separates these two teams is the defense. Miami's defense is a gas can waiting to be lit up here. And I think that's exactly what you're going to see this week. And it's one thing to be playing from in front, but it's a whole nother thing to play a better defense and then play a better offense to go up against your mediocre at best defense. And I think that's going to be the Achilles heel of this Miami team. So I wouldn't put them on a level playing field yet. Yes, they can score at the best of them, but that defense is going to be exposed.
That line working in favor of Buffalo, it was 2.5 in favor of the Bills just a few days ago at on the hook. Now flatly at that key number of 3 in favor of the Bills. The Bills have only allowed 13 total points in their last 2 games. Buffalo tied for the second best scoring defense in the National Football League, a top 5 unit in that perspective a year ago. Miami's defense has improved. A tough test this week against Buffalo. It's the only total on the board north of 50. 53.5 the over under Sunday in the early window in Western New York between the Bills and the Dolphins. So, Joe, Buffalo starts to dip into 3-digit prices that we have on the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 950 for the Bills to win Super Bowl 58. There are 4 teams with 3-digit prices that we have right now. The Bills, that plus 950 number, and then Joe Ranieri, the Chiefs, the defending champs, the Niners, now co-favorites alongside KC, both at a 6-1 number, and the reigning NFC title winners, the Philadelphia Eagles, at 7-1. Joe, does this feel like a tier of 3 starting to emerge right now between Kansas City and the 2 unbeaten teams remaining in the NFC?
Well, without a doubt, it does. But it's interesting with those 3 teams. I think 2 of them still have a higher ceiling that they are working out, especially offensively. I think Kansas City Chiefs are not humming right along here. I think they're still trying to work some things out offensively. The Eagles are not the same offense they were a year ago, and I don't know why we would expect them to do, because the guy that was the architect of that offense is not a head coach at Indianapolis. You've got a different play caller. You can see that going on. So I still think the ceiling is higher for both Philadelphia there and Kansas City offensively. My fear with San Francisco is that they're peaking too soon. And we see this every year with teams where they, Cowboys, for instance. Oh, wow, look, they're 9-1, they're 10-1, and then the wheels begin to fall off. I think that's the only thing I would worry about with the 49ers, is that they look heads and tails above everybody else, right? Just humming along here offensively, defensively. Are they peaking too soon? That's my only fear here with the 49ers. But they are certainly, as we head into week 4, deserved of being considered the best in the National Football League right now.
And by the way, Joe, take a look at scheduling. This is really going to come into it, because we do believe the Chiefs and the 49ers and the Eagles obviously are in that top tier. But if we try to take a look at down the line, the Philadelphia Eagles do play the San Francisco 49ers. That game's in Philadelphia. But hear me out on this one. The Miami Dolphins, let's just say they beat the Buffalo Bills this weekend. They're going to be riding high and certainly moving up in that odds market. But the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins are going to play on November 5th. But here's the twist. At Kansas City, it says. But if you're not paying attention, this game is actually in the UK. So now you're taking a game away from Kansas City at Arrowhead, which is one of the biggest home field advantages in football. Miami's got to love that, Joe.
Oh, Miami is absolutely going to love it. But again, Kansas City, that's a lot of experience over there. So whether they play the game in in London, they play it in the backyard, I think Kansas City Germany at that point understands what's at, been there and done that. Experience matters here. Miami feels like this is going to be a whole lot of flash and maybe not a whole lot of bite when it comes down to games like that, when it's all on the line. And they look great when things are going perfectly, but I think we've all witnessed Coach McDaniels there making some head-scratching decisions when things get a little tight in the fourth quarter. That's still going to rear its ugly head at some point during the season.
I would have thought Giovinari, living in Miami, would be caught up in the South Beach enthusiasm for Miami at this point. Not the case on the Dolphins. Dame I will caution this.
Heard him.
Wow.
So, yeah, hey,
wow.
Listen, yeah. I get
I
it.
I will just say,
I get
listen,
it. Big fan,
the
Gio.
Dolphins are no, well, they're no, they're no, all right, I'm just saying, they're oh, not the U.
Beautiful.
So let's settle down here. Let's just settle down, okay?
Yeah,
thank you very much. They're not the
let's
U.
Go.
The Dolphins will have more success this year than the Miami Hurricanes relative to their specific sport. That is my guarantee to both of you. Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins, they're coming along a little bit. Jalen Ramsey on his way back. And not to step on any toes here, but that game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins is actually in Frankfurt, Germany. Still the home field advantage that Kansas City loses out on had they played in Arrowhead. So that is something to pay attention to. We showed you 9 of the best odds to win the Super Bowl, but in the top 10, let's not sleep on the Cleveland Browns either. 26-1 for the Browns at this moment. A big one between the Browns and the Ravens this weekend. One of the best divisional duels alongside, of course, the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. A divisional duel to start off week number 4 in Lambeau. Joe Ranieri brings it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night football in Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin, kicks off week number 4 of this NFL regular season tonight. It's the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Welcome back to a Thursday live right here on the Early Line. Ben Stevens, Joe Renner, and Donnie Wrightside breaking down TNF for you. And Joe, let's dive right in. The Detroit Lions are the favorites in the NFC North, about a half dollar in front of the Green Bay Packers. Even money for Detroit, plus 100, plus 145, the price for the Pack. And Joe, it's a different scenario for both of these teams in 2023 than in previous years these two divisional foes have faced off. The Lions are the favorites, not only to win the division, but tonight in Lambeau Field. And it's not Aaron Rodgers out there at quarterback. It's Jordan Love in his second game in front of the Green Bay faithful, now as the face of the franchise of this Packers organization. A point and a half, Joe, in favor of the Lions might feel insignificant, but both of the previous two games for the Pack decided by just a single point. So, Ranieri, what's the approach to Thursday night football between the Lions and the Packers?
Well, it's prime time, right? So here we go. Thursday night, short week, prime time football. You guys know the answer to this question. It's the under in as many different ways as humanly possible. Given what we know. Now, listen, there are some injury concerns here that we are absolutely going to want to make sure that we have a pretty good idea on, especially on Green Bay side. You know, is Watson going to go? Is Aaron Jones back? They do have some issues on the offensive line. So does Detroit, for that matter. They've got some offensive linemen concerns and injury question marks. So have a pretty good idea of who exactly is playing here. But I just don't see any reason to think we're going to get anything other than what we have gotten the last couple of times that these two have played. I think they combined for what, 24 points in Detroit last year back in November, and I think they combined for just 36 in Green Bay back in January. So history suggests these are two very physical teams that are going to go at one another. This is not going to be a finesse, greatest show on turf situation where they're going to exchange score for score. I do think the defenses are going to win out. I would only look to play the Lions here, who quite honestly in the Dan Campbell era here, Ben, have been phenomenal so far. 6-0 against the spread when facing divisional opponents since the start of last year. 18-8 versus conference opponents since the start of last year. So this is the kind of spot where Dan Campbell has brought that mentality to this Lions team, and they have been absolute ATM machines. Now, most of those were with them as being a dog, but you got to believe at this particular point, the Lions are ready to take that next step. Otherwise, you're looking at betting a dude that's completing 52% of his passes so far. That doesn't exactly lend me to believe this is going to be some sort of crazy shootout with, you know, with Jordan Love only completing 52% of his passes.
Looks like Jordan Love possibly getting back some of those weapons in Watson, also Aaron Jones. But the one thing we don't know, Joe, is how long they're going to play, how effective they'll be, and if they're only in on certain packages here. But I want to ask you this question. Which Packers team are we more likely to see? Remove the Bears game from week number one. Week number two, double-digit lead on the road at Atlanta. Give that one up and end up losing. Last week at home, double digits in the fourth quarter, come all the way back and score 18 points in the fourth quarter to win that game. Which Packers team is showing up as opposed to the past 2 weeks?
Well, it depends. Is the Packer team tonight going to have to face a backup quarterback in the second half of this game? Because then I might say, why not? It could very well be. And I think that's the troubling part here, is that they do have early on in the season, the first 3 weeks, they do have a common opponent, don't they? And that would have been the Atlanta Falcons. And how did that work for the Green Bay? Oh, that's right. They blew the lead. Atlanta won. Atlanta wasn't that lucky, though, against Detroit, were they? Losing 20-6. So, you know, we do. You can't ignore that. A common opponent here. And it looks like Detroit is that much more prepared for this contest, I think, than the Packers. Not enough for them to be able to trust, even to take the point and a half. If you want to use them in a teaser tonight, while it's still 1.5, you want to tease it up over a touchdown and use them as one leg, I wouldn't be opposed to that either.
Yeah, DR, when it comes to the Green Bay Packers this year, Joe, they've actually closed as the underdog in every game so far, 3-0 against the spread. A couple of one-point decisions there against Atlanta week number two. They were up 24-11 midway through the fourth quarter. And, of course, last week coming all the way back from down 17-0 to knock off the Saints 18-17. Let's focus on the quarterback play, Joe Ranieri, because that is going to be a huge focus tonight, of course, between Jordan Love and Jared Goff. Both QBs have gone over their passing yards numbers in 2 of 3 games so far this year. Not for Goff last week, 243, the highest passing total for Jordan Love so far this season last week against New Orleans, 259. Joe, if you are going to back the Detroit Lions tonight, what do you need offensively out of Jared Goff, who, at least in my estimation, Ranieri, going to be looking to get the football out pretty quickly? No Taylor Decker, his blind side blocker, the left tackle for Detroit tonight. Rashawn Gary for Green Bay has created a lot of havoc so far through 3 weeks.
No, they have. I mean, listen, I think it's got to be, if you're looking at Jared Goff here tonight to have a decent game, then it's got to be Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? He's got to be the guy to once again elevate and get it going. I think he's what, 75.5 receiving yards and not one but two games now back to back here. I did it against the Seahawks in week two, the Falcons last week. He had over 100 yards. That combination has to continue to perform if Jared Goff is going to have a big night here tonight. And of course, they've got to be able to run the ball. I don't anticipate this being a whole lot of points here tonight, because I am certainly looking at the under. But if anybody is going to put up some numbers, I think it's going to be St. Brown and it's going to be Goff. That combination, I think we can be a lot more confident in that than Jordan Love with maybe an injured Aaron Jones or Watson who hasn't played yet. So I think Jared Goff is definitely in a better position to have some success tonight.
Drafting a first-round running back, you expect to get immediate dividends out of that. Week number one against the Chiefs, 7 carries. Week number two against the Falcons, 7 carries. Week number three against the Falcons, 17 carries in that one. We're talking about Jahmyr Gibbs tonight, and you're taking a look at the Green Bay Packers as a defense, giving up close to 140 yards on the ground per game. Any looks here for Jahmyr Gibbs tonight once we get some of those official numbers when they appear on the FanDuel Sportsbook for you, Joe?
Well, they have to have success running the football, because that will open up, you know, St. Brown and the ability with Raymond and the rest of those wide receivers down the field, as long as they're going to have to worry about Gibbs running the ball. It seems like they still have the training wheels on him, and I don't understand why and what they are waiting for here, because you're right. They went ahead and drafted him, didn't they? And it feels like they, I don't know, are you saving him for the end of the season? I'm not sure. I mean, what better way than to go on the road, and, you know, unleash him, let him go, let him go to town and dare the Green Bay Packers to stuff the box here and try to stop him. They need to be able to run the ball. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you know, dropping Jared Goff back 50 times in any game is a recipe for disaster, especially on the road. They need to run the ball with him tonight. So if they have any success, in all likelihood, that's going to correlate to Gibbs having a lot of success.
No David Montgomery for Detroit this evening. And we saw Jahmyr Gibbs more heavily involved, at least in the rushing attack last week for the Lions offense. 17 carries for 80 yards. Only one grab, and that followed a week he had 7 catches on 9 targets against Seattle. 9 touches week number 1. 14 touches week number 2. 18 touches last week for Detroit in a victory over Atlanta. Joe brought up the point about looking at Amon-Ra St. Brown, his total receptions prop tonight, 6.5, the over a slight bit of plus money. 9 grabs last week on 12 targets. He has only gone over that number once, but the 2 times under 6 receptions, targeted at least 7 times, a focal part of the offense. And I would also say, keep an eye on Sam Laporta, 44.5, the receiving yards number for the rookie tight end out of Iowa for Detroit. He has gone over that number in each of the past 2 games. 4.5, his receptions prop, a number he has gone over in every game so far, all 3 of his NFL career for Detroit. So a divisional rivalry tonight, Joe, in Lambeau Field. We talked about it. The Lions booked as a favorite. It will be only the 8th game for Detroit as a favorite under Dan Campbell. This will be just the 16th game for the Green Bay Packers as a home underdog dating back to 2008, of course, when Aaron Rodgers became the starting quarterback. Right now, Joe, these 2 teams separated by just 45 cents in the NFC North divisional odds. Both teams at 2-1 to start this year. Do you believe it is a 2-team race, Joe, between these 2 teams that we will see tonight at Lambeau on Thursday Night Football?
I would not sleep on the Bears being absolutely horrific the whole year. So yes, I would without a doubt look to the top of that leaderboard and say, yeah, it's kind of a 2-team. I mean, who knows if Kirk Cousins is even going to be wearing a Minnesota Viking uniform here by the time we reach the middle point of the season. So yes, it is Detroit, it is Green Bay, and then there is the rest there, which have all sorts of issues right now. Minnesota, the minute the rabbit's foot wasn't working anymore for O'Connell in Minnesota there, it's amazing what we get with this Minnesota team. And Chicago is just, it's a dumpster fire. So it's there too. This is the kind of battle we're going to see with these 2 teams, I think, throughout the season. This is a big game in week 4.
By the way, Joe, if we do take a look at those standings here, I should have said the odds standing at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Detroit at that plus 100 price to win the NFC North, Green Bay at a plus 145. Let's just say it holds true tonight. The favorite in this game is the Detroit Lions. They go into Lambeau and win. Now, granted, we know that the Green Bay Packers are a little bit banged up here. Let's just say Watson comes back healthy. Aaron Jones comes back healthy in the next week or two. Will there be value on the Green Bay Packers, per se, at like a plus 225 price, something that you might be willing to get down on?
I have to see more in the passing game from him. Now, granted, you know, he didn't have Watson, he had his best receiver the first couple of weeks. So let's see what we get here. But it's very hard for me to count on a dude who's averaging, 52% completions here through the first 3 games. That's not great. So maybe having Watson back in there is going to be the lift that he needs. And we know that Dylan can't be the primary back. So they need Aaron Jones, as usual, to be able to set the tone there and be able to run the ball. They have to be able to run the ball in order to give Jordan Love the opportunity to be able to get that percentage up and get some more meaningful throws down the field. So I wouldn't be doing anything Green Bay until we see what we get here over the next couple of weeks from Jordan Love. He's got to improve.
We're not entirely sure how healthy or effective Aaron Jones might be tonight against Detroit, but just having him out there for Jordan Love could prove vital. 127 total yards from the line of scrimmage for Jones week number 1 in Chicago. That was the Packers' lone divisional game so far this year. They're off to a perfect 1-0 start in the NFC North. This is the first division game for Detroit of this year. Again, a division they are favored to win. Detroit has not won a divisional crown in 3 decades in the National Football League. Joe Ranieri, thank you so much. We'll see you on In-Game Live tonight, right, for Thursday Night Football?
Covering this game here tonight. Looking forward with Sherapan.
The hardest working man at the Spiz Grid. Not Dave, that's Joe. We're back on the early line. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out this second hour of 3 Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, and the new Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen, and in a matter of moments, all of our information and insight in the palm of your hand. DRS, I think in the Spiz Grizz app, they're taking bets right now on who the best NBA team is following the blockbuster deal that was Damian Lillard being traded to Milwaukee yesterday to pair alongside Giannis, not Miami, Milwaukee for Dame Time. Dame Time is now Central Time, going from the Rose City to a land filled with beer and cheese. So, Donnie, in the new Sports Grid app, you can find out who the best NBA team is. And we also hear from the people out there now in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, DRS, who is the best team in the NBA? The 4 teams that have the 4 shortest prices to win an NBA championship. The Bucks, Celtics, Nuggets, and Suns. Those are your options on this Fade the Public poll. And Donnie, I voted for the Nuggets just because I thought I was going to be contrarian and try to skew some numbers. It turns out I'm not. 39% of the public still giving it to the reigning NBA champion Denver Nuggets as the best team in the NBA. The Bucks not far behind, about 36% of the vote. But DRS, I found this rather surprising.
Yeah, we must have a big market out there in Colorado here where they're tuning in, holding up the honor of their Nuggets and their championship. I was surprised to see that because I thought it would be the Bucks. But how about this? If you're talking about fading the public, I actually clicked on the Suns, only getting 10% of the votes here. So I am a true contrarian this Thursday morning because I do believe the Suns are the best team in the NBA.
Donnie, the Suns have a better price, plus 550, than that of the Nuggets to win an NBA championship, plus 650 for Denver, the defending champions. We'll continue this conversation when hour number 3 of a Thursday on the early line starts in 55 seconds.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.